This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hacking, data, and identity theft are causing devastating problems. Globex Data is the solution for privacy and security in the digital world. Switzerland has the world's strictest privacy laws, and Globex Data's Swiss-hosted platform is outside of big tech with no data mining. Globex Data is now launching in the USA, offering email and messaging privacy and security to all Americans. Globex Data Limited, stock trading symbol SWISF. Web address, globexdatagroup.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired, CBS News, author of, with his colleague Tom Vossler, Battle-Tested, Gettysburg Leadership Lessons for the 21st Century. We certainly go to battle-tested now, Afghanistan. The news in Afghanistan is serial and tumbling around us. So, what we know now, this is Bill Raggio of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies reporting on Long War Journal in these last hours. The Taliban seized control of Badakhshan province and its capital city, Faizabad, on Tuesday, yesterday. The northeastern province served as headquarters to the Northern Alliance prior to the U.S. invasion of Afghanistan in 2001, making one of the seeming opposition strongholds, the latest grim sign in a week full of them for the Afghan government. Jeff, a good evening to you. I look to Bill Raggio's map, and what I see is a circle of fire around the center part of the country, around Kabul. The fact that the former headquarters of the Northern Alliance falls is deep irony, because it was the Northern Alliance that opposed the Taliban in the late 20th century when it ransacked the country and murdered and brutalized the Afghan people. The Northern Alliance at first was supported by India, Russia, and Iran. This is in the late 20th century. After the U.S. launched into Afghanistan, it was the Northern Alliance that the Pentagon linked up with, and they've now lost their headquarters. How do you read this map, Jeff, in the onslaught of the Taliban? Good evening to you.
Hey, good evening to you, John. I read it exactly as you do, and more, of course, the island of Kabul in the center is the only portion of the country now under government control largely. Estimates now are that the Taliban control about 235 of the 434 districts in the country, 9 provincial capitals, and the government in that central part of the country only about 65 districts under its control, the remainder being contested. And you're right again, John, the Taliban's success in the north is singularly important. We had arrived there after 9/11. And largely it was U.S. air power and Northern Alliance ground troops that toppled the Taliban. If you talk to Afghans, as I did when I was in Kabul, they would not talk about victorious Americans marching into the Kabul when that occurred. They would talk about the Northern Alliance, the Tajiks, marching into Kabul. And now we see those areas under largely Taliban control. The key city now in that area, of course, is Mazar-e Sharif, which is the capital of Balkh province, a city of about 500,000, at a crucial crossroad for the Ring Road and the road south to Kabul and the road north to the Central Asian Republic. That now is being threatened by the Taliban as one of the last remaining provinces, a singularly important city by size. And we've even had President Ghani himself fly into Mazar-e Sharif in an effort to rally local militia groups, particularly Marshal Dostum, to now come to the city's defenses and try to stem the Taliban offensive.
What are you watching, Jeff? What provinces are critical to understand how badly this is going?
I watched three, John. I watched Balkh and Mazar-e Sharif in the north. That'll be the last part of that Northern Alliance area to topple. And then the other two are the ones in the south, Lashkar Gah, capital of Helmand province, and Kandahar, of course, capital of Kandahar province. Lashkargah, we know that a good portion of that city has now been captured by the Taliban. And these two cities are where we've seen a few, at least, U.S. airstrikes going in attempt to slow the Taliban offensive, to include AC-130 gunships and B-52. But not, I stress, a massive U.S. airstrike. The fall of those two cities in Mazar-e Sharif would be catastrophic for the Afghan government. Kandahar in particular of importance. It is the spiritual capital of the Taliban, where they started, and the recovery of Kandahar under their control would be an enormous morale booster, if they need one, for the Taliban, and disastrous for the Afghan forces.
The historians tell us, when the North Vietnamese launched their offensive in the spring of 1975 in the highlands, they did not expect to roll into Saigon. The expectation was they had tactical advantages. They were up against what were are regarded as good units, and they were looking for weaknesses in the highlands. The U.S. had left an enormous arsenal behind in the hands of the South Vietnamese troops, and they had good divisions. The surprise was, all of a sudden, the highlands collapsed, and the North Vietnamese had to rearrange their columns to flow south into Saigon. It was a race to Saigon and through the gates of Saigon. That's what the historians tell us. It reminds me, Jeff, to remind myself that a plan exists until you meet the enemy, and then you have a new plan. Are we looking at something like a collapse that nobody predicted?
I think it's a real possibility, John. Back in April, when the Biden administration announced this withdrawal, U.S. intelligence estimates said there was a possibility of moderate level that within 12 months the Taliban might be successful. It's reported now that the intelligence community has revised that particular estimate to a large degree, down to 90 days, and some of our intelligence officials now saying it could be 30 days until we see the collapse of the Afghan government and the fall of Kabul. Sadly, John, we could be commemorating a September 11th 20th anniversary here in about 4 weeks, while at the same time watching horrific scenes coming out of Afghanistan and the final collapse of the Afghan government. That's not a prediction. That's certainly a possibility.
The region is watching the map as closely, more closely than we are, because the Central Asian republics that used to be client states of the Soviet Union are immediately threatened with the border crossings of refugees and agents and bad actors from the Taliban and the forces rallying in Afghanistan for the final offensive. In reporting, in Turkmenbashi, the capital of Turkmenistan on the Caspian Sea, we have a report that the leaders of Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and Uzbekistan all met together to talk about the challenges of the Taliban. Russia was represented. What is striking about this is that Russia, that left Afghanistan at the end of the 80s, is, and Russia that fell apart at the end of the '80s, and the Soviet Union was retired, Russia is now seen as the guarantor of security in former free republics. I note, Jeff, that upgraded BMP 2M infantry fighting vehicles from Russia have now reached Tajikistan to prepare for joint exercises with Tajikistan and Uzbekistan. We're watching the remilitarization of the Central Asian republics. This is not going in a good direction, not only for Afghanistan, but for the whole of Eurasia, Jeff.
I think that's exactly right, John. I mean, Russia, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan also just recently completed a large-scale joint military exercise involving at least 2,500 Russian troops. Tajikistan right now has the largest Russian base outside the borders of the Russian Federation anywhere, and we'll probably see that go up. This will be a real security challenge for the Russians in terms of their concern of extreme Islamic influence now reaching into Central Asia. Same concern, of course, for Iran, who is also seeing dramatic refugee flows into Iran. And it's no accident, John, that in the past week, Secretary of Defense Austin was on the phone with his counterpart in Pakistan, General Bajwa, about the security situation in Afghanistan, and also spoke to his counterpart, the Minister of Defense of the Russian Federation.
The puzzle here, Jeff, did the Pentagon anticipate this? Did they write memos to the White House when political decisions were made that this could go this badly? Was anybody on paper on this, to our knowledge?
Best of my knowledge, no, John. Like I said before, the estimates were that there was a moderate possibility of the Taliban being successful in about 1 year's time. Again, a possibility, not a prediction. But I don't think anyone predicted that it could move this quickly. And I think your analogy a moment ago to the war in Vietnam is not totally off the mark. Once you start seeing this type of a spiral in a war, it gets into a death spiral. As the enemy is more and more successful, they gain more and more strength. The Taliban is liberating fighters from prison, adding them to their ranks, capturing military hardware, equipment, weapons, and supplies. Meanwhile, government forces, whose morale is very low as they see themselves losing, their morale is continuing to plummet. And as the Afghan government used its commando units and its air forces to try to stem the tide, those particular units are getting run into the ground, and you get into this death spiral unless you can find some way of pulling out of that, such as I think President Ghani is trying to do now by going back to an old card in Afghanistan, and that is trying to elicit the support of warlords and militia groups. Whether or not that will be successful is problematical.
My puzzle, in addition, Jeff, is Russia back into Tashkent. I was there twice in 2019. This is a country with great ambitions to be just like us. They want to buy on Amazon. They want to be part of the revival of Central Asia. This is an ancient culture going back 4,000 or 5,000 years. They're extremely, extremely well educated and keen. They're secularized in Uzbekistan because of all the years of Soviet occupation, but they don't want the Russians' military back in their streets. However, I see the situation now is they don't have an army that can deal with the threat of the Taliban. They have to bring them back in.
They have no other real security alternative, and the Russians, of course, will trumpet the U.S. pullout as demonstration of a lack of U.S. willpower, a lack of U.S. credibility, and Trump, that you cannot depend on the Americans. That's certainly all true. Now, that being said, for the Russians, this is also a threat because of the flow of refugees. Again, the possibility of inflaming Islamic sentiment all across Central Asia and the flow of narcotics into those countries and onto the Russian Federation. But in the short term, at least, these countries in Central Asia will turn their attention, I think, largely to Moscow to enhance their security as they see the security situation in Afghanistan continuing to deteriorate.
Refugees. I'm speaking to Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired. He is CBS News. He is the author, with his colleague, of battle-tested Gettysburg Leadership Lessons. Right now, the refugee crisis is beginning, not ending, beginning. When we come back, what is to be done? This is CBS Eyes on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Data privacy. Hacking, ransomware, and data theft have become devastating problems for businesses and individuals. Globex Data has the solution. Switzerland has the world's strictest data privacy laws, and Globex Data's Swiss-hosted secure application, spelled S-E-K-U-R, uses a proprietary technology outside of big tech, which means your data remains private and secure. Globex Data just signed two telecom giants to distribute its secure communication solution to over 400 million people in 30 Latin American and Asian countries. Secure is the solution for messaging and email privacy, with no data or phone number mining. Secure users can message non-secure users in full privacy and security using chat by invites. Globex Data is now available in the U.S., bringing messaging and email privacy and security to all Americans. This Data Privacy Minute has been brought to you by Globex Data Limited. Stock trading symbol SWISF. Web address, globexdata.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.